those nerds!
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 Yes. Or at least the gray.
I was going to go with the Viggo Mortensen movie. You went a
You're
whole...
You're thinking of Liam Neeson.
You went a whole
This
different...
is why...
No, the gray was Viggo Mortensen.
No.
What was his movie? The Road.
Yes.
I never saw that movie.
I did.
I always wanted to.
I saw the movie before. I didn't actually read the book yet. The movie was okay. I enjoy Cormac McCarthy, the guy who wrote the book. He's very bleak and... just a really depressing writer, and so I'm into that.
I gathered at least that much from the movie.
I mean, he also is the guy who wrote No Country for Old Men, another
really
bleak, kind of desolate, hopeless film.
Oh, see? You know what I like about this? Learning.
We do learn together.
That's the best way to learn. Holding hands, skipping.
We can't skip with the mics on. We need wireless mics for that. Put them in the budget.
Give me 20 minutes.
It's snowing. You're not getting anywhere in 20 minutes. In your Honda Fit.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dork Side Podcast. This, of course, is an offshoot of the Dark Side Records podcast, our regular podcast, which we record here at Dark Side Records, 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie. This podcast, however, none of that music shit. This is all...
This is the fun, more successful little brother.
That is never a thing that people say about little brothers. There's never the fun, more successful.
No, you're... Okay, you're probably accurate there. Fair point.
This podcast is the nerdier, way less attractive, way more picked on podcast where we leave it to just the nerdy shit. No music.
Hold on. Now, when you say way less attractive, the only factor missing from this podcast is Justin. Are you implying that Justin is the only sex appeal that Dark Side Records has?
No, but I would say he certainly brings it up a good 20%. I mean, just by sheer numbers, he brings it up
33%. Probably. It's the hair, really. It's that luxurious mane of hair.
Mm-hmm. You saw that picture we posted on our Instagram of him, like, lounging with his hair down?
I did. Yeah. True. I think the world saw that picture.
We got more interactions with that picture than we've gotten with... We're, like, giving away cash and people don't give a shit. We posted a picture of JJ lounging sexily. Hotcakes. Internet hotcakes. I don't know if that's the right use of that phrase.
I'm pretty sure you're thinking of beefcakes. Totally different thing.
But hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm JB.
I'm Birdo.
I suppose, really.
This is our first one in a while. We went through a period, and by period I mean like 2 weeks, where we did two of these in short succession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while. That was about 2 months ago now.
Well, I will be the first to admit, the last one we did, we recorded right about Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and we released it right about a week ago.
I was going to say, yep. Okay, so the fans won't know the difference.
Right. And I will own up, that's purely me. We just had a lot of shit that happened, and I goofed, my bad. So this one, we're trying to, you know, keep it more regular.
Right.
Keeping it monthly.
Exactly.
We want this
bowel movement.
Wait, what? I was going to say like a period.
You're right. I'm sorry. That's a biology thing. It's my faux pas.
When you think of periods, think of us. Bloated. Bloody.
If you're on your cycle, you'll want to listen to us. Because we'll remind you about that boyfriend that you just got really angry at for no reason.
So this is episode 6. And I mean, so much has happened since episode 5.
Episode 6, Return of the Star Wars?
Return of
the
Mac? Return of the Mac.
Mac. I mean, we were talking about 90s pop earlier, so
that's true. But I suppose we should really, the hugest news in the nerdosphere that happened since we recorded our last podcast.
I believe you're referring to...
Princess Down.
Mm-hmm.
We're one princess down.
We are.
The wonderful, I don't know her personally, so I guess I'm really just assuming wonderful.
I never met her. Yeah, that's, I know she did a lot of cons, but I never had the chance to meet her.
She also did a lot of pros. Oh. In that she wrote a lot of books. Carrie Fisher is, of course.
Wait, did you just imply that she also fucked convicts? Like,
No, she did a lot of P-R-O-S-E, pros.
So oh.
It's a pun.
I see.
I'm not good at puns, so I don't make them a lot for this exact reason.
Because you just imply that Carrie Fisher had sex with convicts.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Nerds. Carrie Fisher, spoiler alert, has passed away. She actually passed away the day after my birthday, December 27th, 2016.
Oh, that's right.
It was the almost capping point to a terrible year. It was, of course, Mariah Carey, which everyone regards as the final nail
the
in
final
2016's
thrust.
Coffin. Yes. But Carrie Fisher, a huge loss to our community.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad.
It is sad, yeah. Sudden, too. Like, I mean, as with most 2016 deaths, it seemed to have been unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And like a week prior, it was reported that she had suffered a heart attack on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
But she was told she was said to be stable. Mm-hmm. And then she's dead. I mean, I guess death is a form of stability. But
I guess that's
now we're just arguing semantics.
I guess that's also the what publicists always say when someone like has like a serious health problem. They're like, no, no, totally fine. Don't
White House press
it.
Secretary, not President Kennedy is okay.
Totally good.
He got a little winged.
A little scratch. He's good.
But just ignore everything you saw with his wife covered in blood and brains.
That she was eating a sandwich in the car. You know how windy it gets. It was a thing.
What's that? I'm sorry. The president's dead.
Shit.
Worst spin artist ever.
So stupid. And her mom, Debbie Reynolds, passed away the following day.
I know.
December 28th.
Supposedly of a broken heart, but there was no... The Emmy hasn't yet to rule.
Ironically, I was hosting a trivia night, and someone at trivia said, oh my God, Carrie Fisher's mom just passed away, and I stopped trivia and said, everyone, I have breaking news. Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher's mom, just passed away. And it was in that moment I realized you shouldn't pause trivia to tell people that someone died. It doesn't
probably
really,
not the
it's not a good move.
No, you're not getting the tips.
No,
yeah,
no,
no tips
it just
in your drawer.
Really kills the vibe of the whole drinking and having fun with your friends thing. Yeah, bad move on my part.
Yeah, well, you live and learn.
Well, the that's the saddest news of this quarter. Of course, semi-related was Rogue One.
The release of Rogue One, yes.
That's correct. We're just going to steer this ship right into the side of a larger ship.
That was a good tactical move.
Okay.
Because the Mon Calamari are pretty good tacticians when it comes to naval space warfare.
I do love calamari. It is delicious.
You are vegan. What are you... You can't even... You're so full of shit.
Well, they drove the Ford Corvair into the Star Destroyer?
Okay, you're half right. You're half right.
I'm already doing better. All right. All right. So Rogue One, of course, came out. I saw it.
Mm-hmm. We saw it together.
We saw it together.
We were actually seated in the same row.
Ooh.
It was just a night of firsts.
It was. It was. well, I guess let's just talk about that for a little bit. Rogue One. Before we get into our talk about Rogue One, two things really quick.
Okay.
One, this podcast does contain spoilers. If you're listening and you don't and you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to know shit, stop listening now. Go
right
to,
now, before go, we tell you about all the things.
Go, skip ahead to after where we tell you that Han Solo was Obi-Wan Kenobi's father?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
And that's before Optimus Prime kills Darth Vader.
Oh, it was my favorite part.
Oh, it was so good.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
And second, rating scale for this week.
Oh, yeah.
I have two.
What's your
okay.
first?
Okay, here's our rating system for this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three-tiered system this week.
Okay.
It's Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Ghostbusters 1
mm-hmm.
being the best. Ghostbusters 2 being second best.
Mm-hmm.
And then recent reboot of Ghostbusters being the worst.
Okay, that's fair.
So that's our tiers.
Okay.
We can
do that.
I would give Rogue One a Ghostbusters 1.
I would, too.
I enjoyed it.
I would, too. I'm going to hold off on comparisons to Force Awakens, which is the other recent, obviously, mm-hmm. Star Wars film from last year. But, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well written. The only, I guess, con or negative thing, I think a couple times there were some gratuitous cameos. And this is something Nicole and I discussed on the way home that night.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were awesome. some of them were just unnecessary. But I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's a well-built universe. So there's a lot of fans out there, and you know, I think some was a little pandering to, oh, we'll just throw these guys in there. Oh, Anthony Daniels, you've been in every film so far. We got to give you something.
They, of course, had to pander to those people.
Mm-hmm.
I will say my least favorite my favorite and least favorite cameo was the guy with the squiggly, what I assume is scarred eyeball, and his giant fly-looking friend who were in the cantina.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Those two guys.
That was... See, I enjoy... You're right. It was unnecessary, but I still enjoyed seeing them. I thought the C-3PO and R2 little, like, why are they going there? Was totally... You didn't need to see the fucking droids. I'm sorry. The rest of the films are all about the droids. You didn't need to see them.
Here's the reason that here's the reason I didn't like that cameo was because they fucking blew up the goddamn city like 20 minutes later. So that's implying that these two dudes were on this city, happened to get on a plane at that exact moment, fly off,
mm-hmm.
go to wherever... Where was the cantina?
Mos Eisley.
Had
and
to fly
Tatooine.
To Mos Eisley, who released a great album this year. I'm sorry, this is so stupid. My jokes are terrible.
About.
So, I'm so sorry. Of all things in Star Wars...
I agree. The last half hour, I think, had the most plot holes of the film.
Okay.
And just because, you know, in terms of, like, timelines and chronologically, 3PO and R2 comment on these ships leaving, but then are supposedly... or obviously, on Leia's cruiser in the beginning of the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
well, I think that's
the
where
senator, her father, says, is supposed to dispatch Leia. It's implied, never spoken, but to find Obi-Wan, which we knew was her initial mission in New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I
will say, I'm pretty sure that the scene where 3PO and R2 make a cameo is after the ship has already left.
They were watching like the fleet take off. Yeah,
I think that, you know, remember Vader standing in the bay and watching as the ship flies off. I'm pretty sure they were all that had already happened. Then it cuts the interior of the ship and the dudes with the giant white punch bowl helmets
mm-hmm.
running around, and then R2 and 3PO make a cameo there. See, it's in that final sequence where they're already on the escape
what?
Ship.
No, there's no end cameo of R2.
Yeah, that's where it is.
No.
Yes.
No. You. No. No.
It's right before
you
Robot
fell
Leia.
Asleep the second time you saw it. You are unqualified. The cameo with 3PO and R2-D2
mm-hmm.
is after the rebels intercept the news of the kind of like the Rogue One, the Rogue team landed on the planet
mm-hmm.
Scarif, and they're like, "Oh shit!" They kind of jumped the gun here. I guess we're obligated to go back them up, and they dispatched all the you know the ships and the fleets and the X-wings. And R2, they're standing in the fucking hangar on Yavin 4, and they're like, "Scarif, why are we going to Scarif, R2?
That's a pretty good impression, actually.
Thank you.
I can't take that away from you.
And he's all like, "Beep, beep."
That's not as good. Not as good.
So, there, it was not at the end.
Okay.
You're thinking, the last cameo is, of course, a CGI'd young Princess Leia.
Yes.
What are these plans? And it's like, it's hope.
Which is, I assume, immediately followed by the gratuitous, obligatory, Darth Vader has to just fuck some shit up scene.
Yes, I can't even complain about that. I can't even complain about it.
Star Wars nerds have been waiting for that moment
mm-hmm.
for 30 fucking years.
It's, I mean, it's not the first time, it's the first time in the films you see Vader as Vader, not Anakin,
correct.
In the suit, really fucking shit up.
Right.
In the past, you have, like, there have been some video game versions where you can play as Vader. He's not fast. He's not a fast-moving man.
No.
It's probably the robots in his arms and legs are just not fast. But he still has, like, he's pretty badass, you know, with the lightsaber and the force and
right.
all that stuff. I will admit it was a little gratuitous, but at the same time, I had such a nerd boner when he was fucking him up.
That's purely what it was. It was just
is
everyone.
Is a human?
It is a human.
Okay. Is it a cyborg?
Nope.
Is it General Grievous?
Nope.
Is it Decepticon?
My favorite part of Rogue One? Sassy droid.
You do love a sassy droid.
I do.
The second time I saw it, I could actually hear Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk. Wow, we are going to get ripped apart on the internet for that one.
Alan. I could hear Alan.
Okay. Mr. Tudyk.
Was much clearer. And yeah, now that I realized it was him, I could put two and two together. Obviously, his voice was manipulated to be electronic, but he was a very good sassy droid.
Agreed. He was my favorite part on the initial watch.
Mm-hmm.
And after learning that it was him and watching it the second time, he was the star of that whole movie.
I think the thing I enjoyed most about it, in addition to it was well written, good dialogue and character building, but I'm going to call it the restraint that Gareth Edwards and the filmmaking team exercised in the movie. No lightsabers. You really expands on kind of the religion of the Force and the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Donnie Yen's character was obviously the priest who was a guardian of, like, the Jedi Temple,
mm-hmm.
but was not himself Force-sensitive, but he's, you know, kind of display that other side where, you know, you can be non-Force-sensitive and still have played a role in the mythology of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember, spoiler alert, in the last battle, when he walked out and he's doing his whole "I'm with the Force is with me" thing, and he's got his cane, I was really worried they were going to make him like a sleeper Jedi. And he was going to, you know, pop his saber and hit that button. But they didn't. And he died nobly and mm-hmm. heroically, and I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone died in this, which I think is just one of the benefits of it. Like, it was supposed to be a martyr mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, in New Hope, they speak of the spies who gave their lives for the Death Star plans with an air of respect.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the restraint. They could have easily thrown in some gratuitous Star Wars stereotypes, some more Anthony Daniels and R2 or some lightsabers, maybe more direct references to Obi-Wan, but they kind of held back and made it about specifically the Rogue Team and
mm-hmm.
the Rebels, not necessarily about the Force, except for when you see Vader fucking shit up,
right.
Which makes sense in the timeline.
And, I definitely enjoyed that they took a bold move and killed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Let everyone die.
Yep.
Which apparently was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was a meeting where Gareth Edwards, not Reynolds, the host of one of my favorite podcasts, where Gareth Edwards went in and asked for permission, and they granted him permission.
Which I think was an important factor.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know at what point in the filmmaking process they did that, presumably script writing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they hadn't done that, they would have had to, I would imagine, create a character that they could kind of slip into the background in A New Hope. You know, I pull one of those background people and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, he did this and now he's a general in the background and, you know, he's that guy.
So we're going to get another, we would have had to get another digitally retouched.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Of the three.
So I think that was a really good decision.
Agreed.
And it's funny, I know a lot of some of the fan memes that was going around when they announced Rogue One and the storyline was, you know, precursor to A New Hope, was the line that Mon Mothma delivers where she says a lot of Bothans died to bring us this information.
Mm-hmm.
Because it supposedly was implied that Bothan spies, Bothans are another race in the Star Wars universe.
Go on.
JB.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized upon further inspection that that was from Return of the Jedi. The Bothans brought them the Death Star 2 plans. Although now that I literally, as I said that sentence, I'm finding holes in Gareth Edwards' writing.
Gareth!
Mainly because, okay, Jyn Erso's father, played by Mads Mikkelsen,
mm-hmm.
that guy, Maddie, you know, the whole movie is about how he was a kind of a rebel sleeper, and
mm-hmm.
not intentionally, but built the flaw. He intentionally constructed the flaw in the engine that Luke uses to blow up the Death Star in mm-hmm. A New Hope. Why would the Empire use the same plans and 6 years later?
You know, I do have to say that when I was younger and saw the original three episodes, mm-hmm. that was something that genuinely bothered me. Specifically, referring to Return of the Jedi, but the original one where they blew up the Death Star, was I was always like, what, one thing blows up that whole fucking planet. This is the stupidest.
And they explain that thing in Rogue One. That directly is explained. Like, this guy was like, hated the Empire secretly, did it to survive, but he intentionally sabotaged the Death Star.
Loved that. It brought something from my childhood and actually gave it some closure and made me feel good about it.
Right. It, however, just opens up a few holes for Return of the Jedi.
Don't you do this.
And then Star Killer Base, a thing that exists in The Force Awakens. Which, maybe it's time to go there with the comparisons.
We'll.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
Okay. I'll just sit here quietly.
Okay. In nerd rage. Speaking of Michael Richardson, Michael Mikkelsen?
Mads
Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen, I believe, is... I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry if he's listening.
Sorry, Mads. Listeners, let us know what you thought. What do you think about the plot holes? Did you find something? Is there something we missed? Is there something we don't understand? We have a Twitter account. It's at DorksidePod. Send us a message. Let us know, A, what we fucked up, because I'm assuming half of that shit we totally fucked up.
Primarily name pronunciations. If you could please spell them phonetically for us, that would be helpful. After you insult us, please correct us.
It's for me, really. Let's be honest. Let us know what you thought. Tell us plot holes, corrections.
Has anyone ever tweeted at us?
Only a Dorkside Podcast has tweeted at us.
Okay.
They're dead to me.
Good.
We want your Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Mads, something else that came out in the interim was Doctor Strange.
Yes, indeed.
Mads, who played the, I guess, technically secondary villain in the movie.
Second
to Dormammu, I suppose. A main character, for sure.
Henchman of Dormammu.
Yeah, the main henchman.
Yeah, he was the Vader to Dormammu's emperor.
Oh,
we'll just tie it all together.
Oh, well done. Well done. So, Doctor Strange came out. That was another one that, I guess I'm going to say I went into it with reasonably low expectations.
Okay.
And similar to Ant-Man, which was another one that I would say is a smaller scale on the Marvel movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
It's kind of like a second-tier heroes movie. Totally enjoyed.
I agree.
Well-worn territory. Just another fucking origin movie, but just... Marvel continues to do it right.
I think it was an importantly placed origin story in the time. I'm obviously there are people of much higher salaries than us, implying that we take some kind of salary from Marvel, which is just a pipe dream, who, you know, planned out the chronology of these films and stories, obviously, for years to come. But I think it was important that it wasn't just another super-powered guy. Like, it wasn't another Ant-Man, you know, someone running around, like, fighting crime. Obviously, Doctor Strange is another level. And he's more on, like, the Thor level of supernatural abilities than the Captain America, like, special forces beat up bad guys thing. I mean, obviously, you know, they gave him some martial arts abilities in the film, which, you know, traditionally he does have. But it was a much more, you know, they went into the mystical realm, which is exactly where he belongs. That is his... He's the Sorcerer Supreme. And I actually went into it with higher expectations, both because I love Cumberbatch. I mean, who doesn't?
Agreed.
And because I'm a Doctor Strange fan. Like, I never really read the comics a lot when I was younger, but I always really appreciated that character whenever he had a cameo and some of the crossovers or stuff like that. He was always kind of the... more of a Yoda figure. Like, he was very wise.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get involved in a lot of the petty shit that, like, Iron Man and Captain America are pulling off, because he's above that. He is the snob of the Marvel universe, and I like that about him.
I even appreciated his role in the Civil War comic book, which is where he abstained and he just meditated for the entire time that Civil War was happening. Maybe that was just an easy way to write his character out so he doesn't get involved, but I thought it was also, like, it fit his character well, it fit the mood of the whole thing well. I enjoyed that.
Me too. Yeah, it was different. And that's what I went with Nicole, and she is usually my movie partner, obviously, for very obvious reasons. Whenever we go see a superhero movie, she kind of comes with me out of just obligatory duty, and can be critical of a lot of the superhero movies, which, realistically, she makes some good points, and I have my, like, fanboy blinders on to things.
Let's be real. the minute we go see movies together, the minute we get outside, all we do is just rip shit apart. We
it's
do the
true.
Same thing she does. She just does it from... hers originates in a different place.
Her favorite... the thing she loves to hate on the most is Spider-Man's webbing. Like, why is it hard in this scene when he, like, shoots a ball at a guy and knocks him over, but the next scene he's slingshotting himself across Manhattan?
Those are fucking amateur-level questions. My God. My God. I'm going to sit
anyway,
down one day. We'll have a talk about web fluid. All right?
So she also really enjoyed Doctor Strange because of that freshness of perspective. And then there was just something totally different.
Well, I remember coming here the day after seeing it and talking to Girk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll cut this. And talking to Girk, who's our resident, let's say, green aficionado.
Herbalist?
He's our resident herbalist. And he asked how the movie was, and I was like, super cool effects and a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy it. You don't have to get too deep into it. You can just sit back and watch really cool special effects and have a great time watching it.
Yeah, it was totally trippy. And I know when I saw the trailers, they treated like the other dimensions in a very Inception-style choreography or cinematography. And they did that in the film, obviously. But I was really concerned they were going to really overdo that. Mm-hmm. But it was really, there's this one kind of chase action sequence that they did that with.
Yeah, the mirror realm or whatever.
Yeah, which I appreciated. Like, that was trippy and cool, but they didn't overplay their hand.
Yeah, agreed. So moving on to other Marvel things, something I finished recently, Luke Cage.
Only 6 months late.
Oh.
Only 6 months late.
Look, I watch things at a different pace. Watched other things. I watched Westworld. Did you watch Westworld? I know the answer. You did not watch Westworld.
You don't see?
So, look, you don't have to be ashamed. It's okay. We just watch things at different paces. I finally finished Luke Cage. Here are my two critiques of Luke Cage.
Because I've been waiting for you to finish this because I have maybe even a deeper nerd conversation.
Whoa.
Okay. And it might actually continue. You go first.
So here are my two problems that I have with Luke Cage. One, Diamondback's fucking stupid ass super suit.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
So fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
There's not much more you can say. It's just, it looks dumb.
It was ugly. The point of it was stupid. It was like, oh, you just have to stop hitting him and the suit, like, stops power. Come on!
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Moving on. Number two, I feel like that could have been 8 episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have shortened it up.
Yeah.
There were whole episodes where I was like, this could have been a sequence. Like, this
they
didn't
had
need to be dedicated to a whole hour.
Gratuitous flashbacks that were spread out between some episodes that probably could have been condensed.
Well, one of my favorites was when he was in jail.
Yes, that was
and
cool.
He got into the fight ring. That one I really enjoyed. But there were some other ones, like when he goes back to the barn with the other doctor, and they dragged that for 2 episodes. I was like, we could have
really.
This up.
All they needed was like he goes there, he heals, and the guy sneaks some blood. You know, at the end,
right.
He survives, and he's going to go. Obviously, that's going to be a problem in season 2 or something.
Exactly, the whole thing could have been an aside. And I'm sorry, I thought of my third thing that that bothered me, which I completely forgot about. We mentioned this on the last podcast.
Okay,
I brought up that I was confused as to when it took place in the chronology of the Marvel TV shows, and you said last episode, and I quote, "I'm a big dummy." Sorry.
You're right, I did say that.
And you said last episode that it would all be made clear. I'm still not clear on where that took place.
I believe...
Where is Jessica Jones?
This was post-Jessica Jones.
Is he in a relationship with Jessica Jones?
Nope. Because he left at the end of her season. Remember, she shot him in the head with the shotgun. He was in the coma, and Rosario Dawson had to nurse him, because that's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She nurses and occasionally fucks. She nurses and fucks.
I wouldn't even say rarely. She pretty much
twice.
Every season.
Yeah, if she played for both teams, Jessica Jones would have been some nursing and fucking, too.
Would have been a great plot twist.
Would have been a great scene. Anyways, moving on. So at the end of that one, he gets up and he leaves. Like, he comes to and she's all like, wow, how did you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And he leaves. So, and they make reference to the fact that his ex-girlfriend shot him in the head with a shotgun, I think in the first episode of Luke Cage.
I was just, I guess I just wasn't clear as to the status of his relationship with Jessica Jones at the end of the
series. I agree.
They
kind of left that open-ended. I mean, obviously now he's with the nurse.
Correct.
Until she fucks Iron Fist, inevitably.
I can't wait for that.
Okay, so yeah, I can see how that's a little confusing. They didn't really outright say, like, I'm done with this, I'm moving on to this. Yeah. The thing that there's a few things that bothered me about Luke Cage. I will say...
I mean, unless I missed a detail. If I missed a detail, you know, tell me.
Like, yeah, let us know, because I agree. I don't... apart from the reference to Jessica Jones shooting him, there's not much else to point to that.
Yeah.
Of the three Marvel series... Mm-hmm. Serieses? Whatever. The Netflix series. I would say Luke Cage is probably my least favorite.
Same.
Just multiple factors. I think the writing was a little... it probably could have been shorter, like you said. Like, if they just condensed it, it would have kept a better pace. I also think, kind of with the Marvel movies, it was a story that's been told, you know, new person coming to terms with their powers, figuring out how to use them, which I really liked about Daredevil Season 1, is that while they showed some flashbacks to his training and stuff like that, he goes into it with his abilities. Like, he's had those all his life. He's been, ever since the accident, he was blind, had the heightened senses, stick finds him, kung fu. That's what I appreciate about Daredevil. It was a little different than that, but Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were both very, very similar storylines, old enemies that come back, a lot of flashbacks, which is the first Marvel straight up kill, isn't it?
I'm sure there's been people who've been
killed. Well, people fall off buildings all the time, but they're just nameless ninjas.
The first Marvel hero who has killed a villain, let's see, Red Skull got sucked into the cosmic cube.
Okay, people die. This is an entirely different debate.
Iron Man, let's see, he pushed, what's his name? Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah.
He killed him. Killed Whiplash. Did Obadiah Stane kill himself, technically? Did Obadiah Stane, try to do something at the last second so he, you know, did it to himself?
He, overcharged the thing, right? I haven't seen Iron Man 1 in so long.
Yeah. Isn't it, remember he's Tony Stark is hanging. He's about to fall in. He's, hanging on the glass ceiling of the building. And Obadiah Stane is, walking up to him to kill him while doing his final monologue that he
Tony,
could have just
yeah, Tony,
him.
Overcharges the reactor and then he gets...
Oh, and he moves out of the way
and
blasts up. Right.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. But I will say that Jessica Jones's kill was much more like the Superman Man of Steel kill, where it was like a conscious decision to just, boom, end him. Not so much death due to collateral damage by defeat.
I killed a lot of Chitauri. Oh my god, so many Chitauri.
Okay, well, will you show me the Chitauri rights
group? There was
that
whole thing, remember they sent the nuke, and then all of them just died? I don't know why they all died when the nuke went off in a different dimension.
Are they ever going to explain how the Chitauri are related to Thanos?
Well, the Chitauri are a different race, I believe.
So are they like the bitch race? They're just like the...
If you read the Chitauri in the comics...
The Ultimate series, yeah.
They're more like, almost like insect-like.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're almost, they're more hive-mind-ish and more warlike. They're not as humanoid.
Okay.
They're much more like insect-like.
Like Independence Day aliens?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They never named those things, by the way. Did they ever name them?
I didn't see the second one, so I
Oh, don't see
You
them.
Saw the second
oh,
one.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. If I was ever hoping for a plane crash. That was just... Don't watch that on a plane. You'll open the door.
tell where you watched it.
I had to fly out to California back in October. Mm-hmm. It has been a while. Did we do a podcast? No.
Halloween, we did a podcast.
Yeah, right. Okay. So this was in October. I had to fly out for a friend's wedding. And it was on JetBlue. And it was a six-hour flight, so they have the movies are for free. And I'm like, oh, they have Independence Day Resurrection. Cool. This isn't based on our old rating scale. It's not a Regal Cinemas. It's not a South Hills. It's I'll get there when I get there. And I figure, a plane is really it's about equivalent to cable. If it's on network TV,
because mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You're watching for free, flat out free, no monthly fees, nothing. oh God, what a mistake. Because then you're trapped in a tube, disobeying the laws of gravity and physics, and God, if you go in for that sort of thing, is being slingshotted across the country, watching this horrible film. It was rough.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was
terrible decision making all around.
I mean, there's clearly a reason Will Smith was like, nope, not doing this. So they took the new guy who's like Will Smith's kid.
So less than Ghostbusters reboot.
We're going to, yes.
Yeah. Unwatchable.
Yep, not at all recommended.
Okay.
If you are sick, it will make you sicker. It actually has biological weapon powers.
All right. So here's a new bit we're going to do for Dorkside Podcast. This is a new segment. We need to give it a name. We can brainstorm a name later on.
Is this the random thing?
Random viewings.
Okay.
So sometimes you just watch random shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on TV. You just happen to see it. Something we happened randomly to both watch recently was the new National Lampoon Vacation movie.
Yes.
I happened to watch it on HBO randomly. I think I watched maybe half
same
an hour.
Same here. Yeah.
You know, some odd.
I think it was like on HBO On Demand, and I was like doing laundry one day. I'm just like, oh, let me just click this on for a little bit.
I have to say I was...
But before you say that, I will preface this with saying that neither of us actually finished the film.
That's correct.
Which is part of the interesting part of the conversation, because I don't think either of us really hated it.
I enjoyed it way more than I thought.
I saw the trailers and I was kind of like really skeptical. Despite the fact that I remember years ago talking with my cousin, because he used to watch a lot of the National Lampoons a lot, like when I was a kid, about how cool it's your bathroom smell is permeating the rest of the place.
It smells like paint.
It smells kind of like paint. I'm tempted to just like light a match and see what happens with the building.
Yeah, it's bad. It's okay.
Okay. So I was really skeptical. I didn't even see it in theaters. Like I was like,
I give that an immediate pan.
Yeah,
was not interested in seeing it at all.
Despite the fact that I occasionally enjoy what's his face, the main actor.
Hey man, how's it going? Well, I mean the sad part of that is that I love the older National Lampoon Christmas movies, National Lampoon European Vacation.
Yep,
like. Classics.
Yeah.
Love those.
I can watch those. All those are ones I can watch anytime.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on TV, I'm going to watch it.
I did not watch any of the Van Wilders.
Me either. I mean, National Lampoons as like, I think it's like a comedy
as a brand.
Group. Like the writers or whatever. I did see Van Wilder 1. I never saw the second one, The Rise of Taj.
Who was Kumar from Harold and
Kumar. And then he worked for Obama for a little while.
Oh.
Yep.
So, damn, that's moving up.
Mm-hmm.
He did good.
But yeah, I started watching National Lampoon's Vacation, the reboot, and I guess to clarify, it's not strictly a reboot. It's kind of like the next generation, because the main character is supposed to be a grown-up Rusty with his own family, and now they're having adventures.
Right.
And I believe I didn't actually get to it, but I think there is a cameo with Chevy Chase as Clark.
I did get
Chevy
to
Chase
that.
And there Beverly is, D'Angelo,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are in the movie. I did get to that point in the movie.
Okay. I got to the point where Thor has a huge dick.
Yep.
Okay.
And the Korean car that has buttons that are insane.
Yep. And then he took a four-wheeler through a cow.
Yep. Yep.
Which, I mean, I was really laughing my ass off at some points in that.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, I never went back and watched the end of it. I think I stopped right after the cow murder. After they're, sent packing from the sister's ranch.
So here's what I think we should do. Each month, let's watch a random ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about it on this podcast. Something we would never, make an effort to go see.
Right.
Out of our wheelhouse. And
so not a DVD we own or anything like that. Just kind of a random whatever.
Some rando. Exactly. Yep. And listeners, we want you to tell us what we should listen to. We want you to tell us what we should watch. So if you have a random-ass movie, something that you would like to hear our insight on, send it our way. Go to our Twitter, at DarksidePod. Send us a movie. We'll watch it. We'll review it. We'll talk about it. Maybe some things you forgot.
Like Debbie Does Dallas. I'm talking about the 1970s version, not the reboot.
I was going to say Bill and Ted, but that's also fine.
It's really the same quality writing, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
probably Bill and Ted's a little more funny versus boops.
So the other thing about Rogue One was that every single trailer...
Oh, you're talking about the one scene? I saw it on your laptop earlier, like the one sequence from the trailer that was never in the movie?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Disregard everything I just said.
So the other thing about Rogue One that I really enjoyed was the trailers for the upcoming movies. Clearly, this was the one that every studio wanted to be attached to.
Yeah. And when we say every studio, we mean every...
Every franchise. God, everyone wanted to be on that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a ton. Things that I had completely forgotten were coming out.
Yep.
Trailers that I saw for the first time.
Yep. All things that I'm taking you to an opening night.
Oh, I like date night. There was, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yep. New. It looked like... Well, it was not a new trailer, but it was cool to see it on the big screen.
Exactly.
A little extended thing.
And I will say, without getting in too deep, because honestly, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
No hesitation. I'm going to go see it.
Absolutely.
There was a trailer for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
There was, yes.
I'm not a Pirates of the Caribbean watcher.
I mean, I am. I will admit that everything but the first one really is not that great.
Okay.
I mean, the first one was really cool and really fun and different. And everyone after that was just like the first one. And the same amount of fun and the same amount of difference, in which, I mean, not at all different from the first one.
Right. Who was the actor who played the main pirate villain in this
The new one? Mm-hmm. I was Javier Bardem, who I really like. I mean, he's a great actor, and he's been around in a lot of foreign films forever.
Mm-hmm.
I believe like his first big U.S. breakthrough was the villain, the killer from No Country for Old Men.
Agreed. Or at least that was the first thing I ever noticed him in.
And then he was a Bond villain in the last James Bond.
Yep.
Or second to last. And I mean, I think he's a great actor. So I'm interested to see what he... I mean, I'm going to go see it because I like him. I'm
going to say that I don't think I've seen any of the Pirates movies.
Okay. Really? Not even the first one?
Not even the first... I think I've seen pieces.
Okay.
Maybe on TV. But I don't think I've seen any of them all the way through.
It is a fun swashbuckling romp.
Not interested.
Okay.
But I will say that him being a part of it was certainly the highlight. Was a pleasant surprise in the trailer.
Yes.
For someone who has otherwise no interest in it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to say I'll probably end up seeing that, not opening anything.
Netflixing?
No, I mean, I'm sure I'll go to it in the theaters. I'm not going to make a priority of getting there like opening night, opening weekend.
South Hillsing?
Maybe South Hills.
Okay. Sometime, if you want to South Hills,
at some point,
South Hills.
I can find easy parking and not deal with crowds of teenage girls who are moistening themselves over Johnny Depp.
Easy. You're not wrong. another one was the new Transformers movie. They're still making those. God. I
don't know why. The last one, I never even saw the last one.
Me neither. That
Did
was
you see
Dinobots, right?
Yeah, Age of Extinction or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg and Dinobots.
Yep. I will say I saw the third one. That was the last one I saw.
Okay.
Enjoyed it.
I'll say, I saw the first three.
Same.
I thought it was going to be a trilogy, but they just kept happening. And I didn't dislike any of them, like, outright. Like, this is a horrible... I guess the second one was pretty bad.
Well, the second one was during the writer's strike.
That's right, Hollywood. And that was a whole thing. Yeah.
So that... I don't want to say it gets a pass because
but
of that.
It's an explanation of why it sucked. I'm not going to give it a pass because... You know, if you can't get a writer, maybe you should hold off on the project.
You know what I think I hated the most?
Or pay your fucking writers.
The tiny Autobot or Decepticon, the little guys.
Yeah.
That had the really annoying voice.
Yep.
I fucking hated those guys.
It was terrible.
So much. They were the Jar Jar Binks of the Transformers franchise.
Agreed.
Oh, God, I hate it.
Agreed.
Ruined the whole franchise.
I mean, it's interesting because I think Transformers, as a kid, I loved it. Like, I loved the cartoons. I loved the toys. The original 80s movie, like, I will still watch that because it's cool. I've been really angry for quite a while that Rodimus Prime, you know, Hot Rod, it's next gen, has not made an appearance yet. I'm guessing it's because the guy who does the voice of Optimus Prime is just on like a 25 movie contract.
Did you see
and that's all he does?
Did you see Age of Extinction?
I didn't.
Oh, maybe Rodimus is in there.
Well, he's not in this one.
All I know in the trailer was Prime was in space and he has a sword for some reason.
Yeah, now he has a sword and he killed Bumblebee or supposedly kills Bumblebee.
I don't know why.
And he got possessed by the dark side. And
then Darth Vader comes.
Yep.
And turns into a whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
And then Optimus Prime kills Darth Vader in this epic crossover film.
I'm going to give that one a Netflix.
Yeah. Or TV, like, next time I'm flying to California.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the movies have just become redundant. Like, it's the same shit.
Agreed. There's a bunch of stuff coming out. So, once again, let's talk about what's coming out. And we're going to give it our ratings. Galleria, South Hills, Netflix, Flu. If you listen to the last one, you know these are our ratings. Galleria costs a little bit more money. That means it's something we really want to see.
Right.
We're willing to shell out the $15.
We're willing to sit in a crowded room full of smelly teenagers and nerds.
South Hills. South Hills is our local $2 theater. So, you know, it's like I'm not really interested, but I'll go see it in a theater. Netflix.
You can sneak the beer in and the seat. Well, the seats are new, so
new seats,
no more back pain.
It's up to $3 now, so we're moving up in the world.
Absolutely.
Netflix.
You're paying for the subscription. Might as well watch something.
And, of course, The Flu.
Because you don't want to watch daytime courtroom drama.
You literally can't close your eyes, and you have to watch something. Then there was, of course, the new Power Rangers movie.
Yes. Listen.
I am so out. I am 100%
out. Because you're old.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. It's because it's shitty. That's why.
Power Rangers. Did you ever watch Power Rangers in your youth?
I did.
Okay. Because that was like my after school thing, was Power Rangers, when I was in like probably elementary school.
I feel like it was for me as well. There was a solid period where I watched the TV shows. I feel like I even maybe saw the first Power Rangers movie in the theater.
I did too. Yeah.
And that's about where I checked
out. That was my intro to Van Halen, because Jump is featured in that soundtrack during a fight scene.
You have already so much more knowledge than I'll ever have.
Is this Chef Pants?
It is.
Fuck my... Oh, God. Is he wearing Chef Pants? So, you know, I'm... Maybe not Galleria, but I'm going to go see it just for nostalgia's sake.
I will disagree with you on this time. Normally, I would say I will go with you to see whatever. This is the one I will only Flu this one.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
I won't even Netflix this one. Flu only. And I hate that goddamn text tone so much. This is how I know. I know you're going to Galleria that because of your text tone.
Listen, you shut up. Pretend I didn't assign that text tone after the first trailer for the new reboot came out. Just pretend I didn't, and
I've lost so much respect for Bryan Cranston being Zordon in this movie.
Oh, I forgot he's Zordon. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, I bet you did.
Who's, what's the robot? Alpha.
What?
The Alpha, the robot, the little Zordon guy who runs around.
Oh, with like a dome head, right?
Yeah, it looks like a flying saucer head.
Yeah,
and he always says,
like a hi-hat?
Aye. That was his thing. He ran around and was in distress.
Oh, I hope he still does that.
I hope so, too.
Good.
I will say that, like, I remember, and this is, well, we should, you know, finish up with your list of things coming out.
Last one is something that's a little bit more in your wheelhouse.
Is it a new Jason Bourne movie?
Batman. Lego Batman.
I forgot about that one, and I am beyond excited. You know, mainly because I really loved Will Arnett doing the voice of Lego Batman in the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is I have a friend who told me that the Lego movie was, quote, the best movie he had seen of that year that it came out.
I know Nicole really loved the Lego movie.
I did not think it was the best movie.
With you, yeah.
But I did enjoy Will Arnett as Batman. I just enjoy Will Arnett. But
I think the trailer looks so entertaining, and it's like blatantly makes fun of the genre without being like disrespectful. You know, like, here's the stupid sidekick being stupid and wearing underwear, and why are there no more seats in the bat plane? Why is there a bat everything? And it's like respectful satire, which is probably how they got the licensing.
Yes, agreed. I will give that one a South Hills. If you want to go, if you arrange the South Hills,
I know, I'll go. Because Nicole loved the Lego Movie, we're going to end up doing a Galleria.
Okay.
But
then you let me know how it is.
If you get your Regal card and you get a free ticket, you come to the Galleria.
Ooh, okay, done. Done. Okay.
Anyways, what I was going to say earlier, I was going to add on to the Carrie Fisher memorial bit. I remember as a kid, this is something that a lot of like female friends of mine on like Facebook and my fiance Nicole have said, you know, they really, when they were kids, like Princess Leia was like that strong female icon for them. And it was like that generation. Because, you know, now you have Wonder Woman, you have Jessica Jones, you have a lot more strong figures in cinema. But at the time, you didn't. And I remember as a kid, like in elementary school, like on the playground of recess, back when you could pretend to have fake guns in school and, you know, you had your finger guns and you weren't being brought to the psychologist every day.
Wow. Wow.
I remember playing like Star Wars with my friends, and you know, you were like Jedi or Stormtroopers or whatever. And my like female friends in the class could always join in that game. It could be like a universal game because there was always that female character. And it wasn't
all
like a girl trying
guys?
To pretend to be Batman or a girl trying to pretend to be Superman or something. Mm-hmm. Like there was a basis for that. So, yeah, I think obviously Carrie Fisher was, that role was very influential
So you're saying
for a lot of things.
So you're saying it was good because it wasn't all straight white characters, that there was one diversity character, and that's
Chewbacca
good.
Was a Wookiee, and he was accepted and the best friend.
Fair enough.
Do not be racist against Wookiees. They've dealt with a lot.
That's
they were enslaved, and they were freed.
That's speciesist. That's very different.
And Darth Vader was
maybe
a black.
Maybe they are a race. I'm not really sure how it works when you get into
specious
things from other planets.
It's covered.
They're races on other planets, right? Like a Wookiee.
Yeah,
a race.
They comment that.
And a species is below a race?
The Empire is very humanoid centric. Like, there are no aliens serving the Empire. None of the Stormtroopers are all human. Even the, you know, post clones are all human, and the pilots are all human. Which is why
humanoid.
If you remember in like A New Hope, when Chewie's pretending to be a prisoner, and the officer's like, "Where are you taking this thing?" Like he's so disdainful. Like they don't respect other species, which is, you know, where the Empire fucks them. Because obviously Wookiees, you can fuck some shit up.
True.
The squid face Mon Calamari, amazing strategists
and delicious.
Also delicious if you fry them with some oil and some
butter.
Little hot sauce.
So another movie that I'm excited is coming out, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, we talked about that. Yes, that's the
new Luc Besson movie.
With his multipass.
Exactly. Of course. Did we talk about this last podcast?
No. Because we only started talking about it like a couple weeks ago.
Okay, good. I am super excited for this movie because obviously I don't know if this is common knowledge for you guys, but I love the movie The Fifth Element.
As do I.
That movie had a huge, profound effect on me when I was younger. I loved that movie.
It's one of those things. I remember when I was a kid, when I first saw that, it was a flu movie.
Same for
like,
me. Same for me.
My mom took me to Blockbuster. I was homesick. And I was like, oh, I like Bruce Willis. I was allowed to like watch Die Hard. I'm like, oh, Bruce Willis, cool. Let me watch this. And it was very influential in the fact that I saw Mila Jovovich's nipples. And also it was a great movie.
I'm learning a lot about your childhood development right there. That makes sense. So this led me down a rabbit hole, which I wasn't aware of.
Power Rangers? It always leads me down a rabbit hole, man.
How many...
Go, go. Power Rangers.
How many movies Luc Besson has directed?
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that.
He's done so many.
He has done a lot. I feel like it's one of those things I never... Like, his name's never attached to the trailers and stuff. And so maybe he's just not like a headline seeker, you know? Like,
he did Leon the Professional.
Great fucking movie.
Love that fucking movie. Of course, The Fifth Element.
Yep.
He did Lucy. He did The Takens.
I did know that. I remember we talked about that. Yeah. He did all three of them.
Yeah.
Which always amazed me that they got progressively worse if there was the same director. But not anybody's fault.
Well, it looks like he wrote the Takens.
Oh.
He didn't direct them. He also wrote the Transporters.
I knew that. I feel like he wrote and directed the first in both those series, because in both cases, like, the first was markedly better than all the rest. Like, the first Taken, like, I was fucking blown away. And that's the thing that, like, re-jump-started Liam Neeson's newfound career as, like, an action star.
You are incorrect.
Really?
He just wrote them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
And, of course, he has the...
Clearly, his effort was different.
And I will say, truthfully, that's why I'm the most excited to see Valerian, the City of a Thousand Planets, is because he's directed it.
Yeah.
And it's a new space movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
Did you see Passengers, by the way?
No, I didn't see Passengers.
I was going to go the other day, and then
Oh, you should have texted
it's
me.
It's in the 20s on Rotten Tomatoes, and I sometimes I hate to do that, where I, open a thing, and I, see it, and then I judge it, and then I decide to stay home and watch just crime dramas on Netflix.
Look, it is hunky Chris Pratt and my love of all-time J-Law in a space-themed rom action sci-fi something. I don't even know what it's about. I want to see it. I don't even give a shit.
Which reminds me. You know what else is coming out?
What?
Alien Covenant. Fucking excited for that. Mainly because I'm really into the Alien series.
I love the Alien franchise, but I just was not that thrilled with the last one.
Yeah, I think...
Prometheus.
I think Prometheus just offered a lot of empty promises.
Yeah.
Because it was like, this will answer all the questions, but no. No, Ridley.
It did not.
It did nothing. It made more questions, which is what you wanted. You piece of shit.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Our podcast has turned into the, which directors does Roberto wish death upon?
Zack Snyder.
And Ridley Scott. Who normally I love. I love his early movies.
It's true. I didn't hate Prometheus. Actually, I've watched Prometheus a couple times since, and it definitely improves. Like, the first time was just like, what the fuck just happened? And then going back, you know, I think I felt the same way with some of the Aliens, too. Just, it's not always a franchise where the first viewing gives you everything you want.
Mm-hmm. I did see Arrival. Did you see that?
I missed that, and I was bummed about that. I want to see that. I might have to South Hills that.
I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that.
Good cast, as I recall, too.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, it was a... I took Jenny to see that. I feel like Jenny is often very skeptical of the movies that I take her to see. But this was one that it was super well-written, well-executed, well-directed, great story, perfect acting. It was just... And okay. It wasn't just, like, a stupid, mindless entertainment movie. Like, you know, it was a thinking movie.
Right.
And...
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I don't think what else was... There was a lull, like a lull where I didn't see much in the theaters. So I missed some things.
You mean between Halloween and now?
That would be it. That was the lull.
Well, we have a couple coming up that we're going to go see at the Alamo Drafthouse.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, if you don't know about the Alamo Drafthouse, Google it and go see the movies there. We're going to see... Fire Walk With Me together.
Yes.
I'm going to see Fight Club there next Thursday.
Yep, I'm missing that one, but
should be cool. We're all going to see...
And
Jenny and I are going to see her favorite movie, Hackers, tomorrow.
Cool.
Which is probably going to be yesterday by the time this podcast airs.
Yesterday, 5 weeks ago. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yep.
Well...
I think
we're going to call that for this episode. Thank you for listening, everybody, as always.
We're going to go huff some gasoline now that's spewing out of the bathroom pipe.
If you enjoy this podcast, give us a fucking review on iTunes. Give us, I don't want to tell you how many stars to give us.
8.
23? Minimum 23.
At least.
Okay.
At least.
I don't want to tell you how many, but if you enjoy the podcast, give us a rating.
And if for some reason iTunes doesn't let you rate above 5... Create multiple accounts and rate 5 each time.
Genius. At minimum, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at DarkSidePod. Send us your thoughts. Tell us things we fucked up. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us what random movie we should watch.
Oh, yeah. Random movies.
And let us know what's coming out that you're excited about. Tell us movies that we missed that are coming out in 2017. Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's a new year.
It is a new year. And already there's less death. Already.
Don't jinx it. Don't. Someone just died. You see that?
Probably, yeah.
Something we can do for 2017? We could do a Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like it's... Now that 2016 is gone, like, it's... The novelty's worn off.
Yeah, that's true. That's
My
true.
Picks for the Deadpool in 2016 were not ever correct.
I'm going to Sir Ian McKellen.
God, that's horrible. How could you?
I don't wish
Gandalf?
It on him. I don't wish it on him. I love him.
Gandalf.
I'm just saying, he's my pick. You want me to go left field? Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, well, that's totally understandable. I mean, he's like an eight ball away.
No strategy here on my picks for the Deadpool. You can think about it. Send us your picks as well. You can use a hashtag, Dorkside Deadpool.
Ooh, that's nice.
Nothing to do with the movie Deadpool 2, starring Ryan Reynolds.
Michael Caine.
This year. Michael Caine is your... Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
But now I'm sad thinking about that, because I love Michael Caine.
Sorry.
Shit. God damn it, I'm just going to go huff fumes.
So that's our podcast for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'm JB.
I'm Birdo.
See you next week. Month.
Whenever.
See ya.